So, talking to Greg Meachley, every now and then a story reminds us just how powerful ordinary people can be when they decide to step up for someone else. So, these are two young siblings from Benoni that triggered this journey. Sadie, who is just 2 years old, and her 6-year-old brother Jesse, battling an extremely rare life-threatening immune disorder called DOC8. It's a condition so severe that something as simple as a cold or a cough can quickly turn into a medical emergency. So, because of this, the children have spent much of their young lives isolated from everyday childhood experience, and they can't safely be around any other kids, around the crowds, in the playgrounds, even many of the environments most children take for granted. And we take some of these things for granted because we think it's a given, and it's not a given. So right now, their family is in the United States, where Jesse has already undergone a critical bone marrow transplant, a treatment that could offer both children the chance at a normal life. Back home in South Africa, one man decided that this is a journey the family shouldn't have to face alone. Greg Meachley, founder of Greg Meachley Foundation, has taken an extraordinary challenge, walking more than 600 kilometers from Johannesburg to Durban to raise awareness and support for Sadie and Jason's treatment. And the journey is about to begin. And he leaves on the 26th of March. And this morning we thought, look, let's talk to him. Let's talk about also the children. What inspired this journey? How a single act of determination can rally an entire community around two little brave human beings. Greg, good to have you on the show. Good morning, Greg.
How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you for making time to speak to us this morning. Walking over 600 kilometers, it's an enormous task.
Yeah, it is. You've got to be a little bit crazy to do these things, but for the cause, I think that the craziness fades away, and in the hope and the determination takes over, you know.
How did you begin planning the journey, both physically and logistically? Because I can just imagine.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's not as easy as people think, because you've got to, you can't walk 100 kilometers a day. I think you'll get yourself into a bit of trouble, you know, especially when you're walking literally 14 to 16 days it's going to take. So logistically, I'm hoping for more sponsorships and things like that, so I can find a few places to stay over, a little small B&Bs and stuff. Otherwise, if there's no sponsorships, I'll be sleeping in the grass under bridges and places like that to survive. You know, that's just how it goes. It's for the kids to take whatever it takes. And physically, you've got to go with the flow. You know, sometimes people say you've got to wear certain shoes, but that's not going to help if you are. If you're walking 55 to 60 kilometers a day, I don't think any shoe is going to protect you 100%. So you've got to just, if the blisters come and the pain comes, you're going to put that behind you and say to yourself, well, what is the pain that those kids going through? What is the pain that the family's going through? So you've got to take a bit of that percentage of that pain and see what they're going through and go for it, you know?
Let's take a look at the route. What are you planning to take between Johannesburg and Durban? And how long do you expect the entire journey to take?
Yeah, so I'm looking at, there's no rush, but I'm looking at about 14 plus minus days. Obviously, it'll be from Heidelberg straight to Villiers, and obviously Warden, and then Nottingham Road, right down into Pietermaritzburg to Durban. But it's going to be a bit of a grind, and it's going to be hot. I think the weather's going. And you also never know. You can't, with this weather today, you can't hide away from the lightning and the thunder. So I could be in the middle of nowhere with no bridges. It's a chance you take.
Yeah, when you talk about lightning and thunder, then I'm not a friend of that kind of weather.
Exactly. It's not nice.
I'll be like a little puppy. You'll have to wrap me up and put me somewhere else.
100%. And the
So
storms
you're
we get in
leaving.
today are
So.
hectic.
Yeah, you're leaving on the 26th of March, which is just around
Yes.
the corner, literally. In
Yes,
terms of
100%.
preparation, what are these final weeks of preparation looking like for you?
Yeah, so you know what, I'm doing a bit of walking. So what I'll do is I'll go for walks every second day with a bit of weight on my back, I'll put about 4 or 5 kilograms on my back, whether it's on the treadmill or on the road, and I will just do some walking. And I'll obviously climb some hills, just make sure I get that momentum going, because you've got to get something, and you can't just wake up the next morning and start walking to Durban. And you've got to have a bit of weight on your back, and obviously get the mind right. This is all about the mind. You know, you can push your body through a lot of things, but if your mind's not right, you're not going to do it. So you've got to be completely focused. What I do is all the time is that I keep these little kids in my mind the whole time, because that's what's making me stronger. And obviously the support is amazing. This isn't about Greg Mitchley, this walk here. I must make this clear. It's not about myself. This is about the kids. But a bit of support behind the scenes, and a bit of messages, and a couple of WhatsApp messages and things like that always helps, because it does give you a bit of an extra boost, you know. But again, I need to say, this isn't about Greg Mitchley. He's nothing in this. He's just taking the physical part of things. But we need to all get behind as a community and get behind these kids and at least try and make their lives as normal as we can. Let them go and have a birthday. You know, let them get out to some other kids. That's the plan here. We need to just be determined as a community and get behind these kids.
So Sadie and Jesse suffer from what is known as DOC8 deficiency. How does it affect their everyday lives? Maybe if you could just paint a picture for someone who's just caught our conversation halfway.
Yeah, so basically, it's a very rare life-threatening disease. The diagnosis believed is among the first. It's probably the first in South Africa, you know. It's the infection, like you said in the beginning. It's a bad virus. Even if you get a cold or a flu, that could lead to life-threatening. Just having a cough. So it's not good. It's not nice. We need to, like I said, it's just something we need to. They need to be felt that they're loved, and we need to send that message to the family and say, listen, yeah, we are behind you guys, and you know, we've got to just be positive, we've got to hope for the best, and we've got to just get behind them and do whatever it takes. And I've decided to do this to add a bit of hope, and then you know, one day, and hopefully sooner than we think, that we'd be able to sit around a couple of kids and just be a little bit normal.
How critical is the bone marrow transplant for their survival and long-term future? I mean, I think this really brings to the fore the importance of donation.
Yeah, look, it weakens the immune system terribly. You know, it's unable to fight infections and viruses. I tell you what, basically, like the curative treatment is the bone marrow transplant. It's a highly specialized procedure. You know, it's most commonly performed only in the United States, and this is the problem here. You know, they're far away. So, again, coming straight back to what I'm busy doing, I need to get behind the family and try and do as much, even if it's a plane ticket, if they can get back. There's so many things, the treatments that follow afterwards. You know, we just need to. I hope this message does get to the people out there. Again, it's not about me. We just need people to dig deep and get behind us, so we can, you know, phone the family and say you can fly back to America. And you know, that's not cheap, you know. So. Or add some value somewhere. So I hate to say it again. It's not about the money, but it is about the money, you know, because we need to get these kids back here in a much better condition. If that's the best way to say it.
And you've just spoken about support. When you look at the community and the public support, initiatives like this often grow far beyond one person. What kind of support have you already seen from communities and people who have heard about the walk, and what are your expectations going forward?
Yeah, so I've had many, many phone calls, WhatsApps, emails, messages. I had a golf day the other day for my foundation, and yeah, the emotion in the room is powerful. It was the most amazing golf that I've ever had. Like, these people, I had Big Bucky's Buerta there from when you spoke for the Springboks, and even he shared a tear. Because the emotion was just real, you know, and people can feel cheese stuff. You know, imagine we out having fun and we see kids playing in the garden and kids doing this and kids. Whereas now these little kids, they've been stuck in this condition for so long, and they just need to, like I said, get back to a bit of normality. So again, reaching out to the communities, if they can get hold of me somehow, I promise you now, any donations, sponsorships will be absolutely amazing.
And in terms of awareness and support, beyond raising funds, you're also raising awareness about the condition that most people have never heard of. How important is that awareness component?
100%. It's massive. It's absolutely massive, because what normally happens is we always, you know, the worst saying we can ever say, it'll never happen to us. that will never happen to us. We can say that over and over, but things can happen. So the awareness is massive. If this, the more this gets out to everybody else, the more people are going to be, the exact word we're talking about, will be aware of the possibilities that can go wrong, just from a cough or from a sneeze, something like that, you know. So the awareness is huge. So once I get all that support behind me, and then the more people realize what this is actually about, my life takes while I'm walking, my certain evening and morning messages, that's awareness. And people need to share this stuff. They need to get it out there, because never say things can't happen to us. Anything can happen to us at any given moment, no matter what age you are, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. The awareness is massive. So I'm glad you brought that up, because, again, if people can get behind me and see what this is about, there's going to be more and more of us that will be aware of any situation that can go down.
And for listeners who are moved by this story, who are listening to you and I, how can they support the campaign or help the family? And I know you highlighted the fact that, you know, it's not just the treatments, it's the flights, it's the logistics, it's getting things done. And I think after treatment as well, what, you know, a lot has to be taken into consideration.
Yes, 100%. I'm prepared to put my cell phone number out there. Is that allowed?
Yes, you may.
Yeah, please, guys, if you can get hold of me, my number is 083-380-1016. And then my email address is very simple. It's my name and surname, Greg Mitchley. That's Greg with a double G, 0407@gmail.com. So it's Greg Mitchley, 0407@gmail.com. And my number is 083-380-1016. If you can get hold of me, obviously it would be nice to have a conversation and we can take it from there. Any donations, sponsorships, corporate sponsorships will be absolutely incredible.
And this is not the first time you've done this, which is absolutely amazing and inspiring. Through the Greg Mitchell Foundation, what else have you done?
Yeah, there's so many things.
And what does the foundation do?
Yeah, so basically, in general, what I do is I spend time in elderly homes. So I'll get my team or friends that own like hair salons and beauty salons, and I go to elderly homes. We'll pamper them. We'll do their nails. We'll take them, those that are able, we'll take them to sports stadiums, let them watch a bit of sports live, which I've been dying to do. On the flip side, I'll spend time with children. I've stepped under bridges. I go to townships, poor caravan parks, areas like that, and I get donations and I take blankets and sweets and food and do up food parcels and things like that. So yeah, it never stops, you know, the nations never stop. So whatever I can do to help other people, that's what I do. It literally never stops. There's winter drives, like blanket drives, biscuit drives, food drives. It's literally endless, and there's just so many people that need help. And I know we can't always help everybody else, but if we're helping that 1%, 2%, then we're all doing our job. If people can understand that giving is the best medicine. If you're giving without expecting anything in return, I promise you now, that is medicine, the best medicine you'll ever take. So if people, again, can just reach out, it's not for me, it's for other people. Again, if they can use a cell phone number and an email address, it would be amazing to have that support. It runs 24/7, 12 months a year, every day.
And are we going to be seeing you doing this again? Is this a once-off, or are you going to do it more regularly until you raise as much as you can?
So you won't believe, again, I don't want to talk about me. I hate talking about me. But when you say that, I get the giggles, because I'm actually going, when I get back, I'm going for a hip replacement. So that's the risk I'm taking here. The doctors don't advise what I'm doing again. But my right hip is completely messed. So yeah, I'm going to take the risk, and like I said, if I have to crawl there to get there, I'm going to do it. But yeah, physically, I'm fit and I'm strong. But there's certain parts of your body that might not last, you know. So that's the risk I'm taking. So yeah. But in terms of another one,
you're putting me to shame.
I've been asked to do a Cape Town walk, but that's like on average like a 52-day walk to Cape Town. That's 3 months away from home. It's also extremely dangerous. I think people don't realize. I just got back from Durban last week, and trucks are falling over. There's drunk drivers. The roads, there are literally roadworks all right down to Durban. So it's risky. Sometimes I can't even walk on the highway. I've got to go onto the felt. It's very risky. It's not just a fun, happy, have a laughing day. It's really, really risky. It's very, very dangerous. Hijacking, etc., as we know. So yeah, there's not just a little walk and having a dance and a fun. There's a lot of risk and danger behind the scenes. But again, you know, I'll just put that all behind me. We've got to be positive. It's also a good little sign for the country that you know, if we all stand together as a community, things will get better and things can change pretty fast.
You're an amazing individual, Greg. Totally amazing.
Oh, thank you.
You are such an inspiration. And considering the fact that you're also going for a hip replacement, that's no child's play. And I hope many of us as South Africans really do as much as we can to support and do what needs to be done. Thank you so very much for chatting to us this morning. That's Greg Mitchley, founder, Greg Mitchley Foundation. And if you're out there, you're feeling you can add on or you can support, please go ahead and do so. This is such an inspirational story. Thank you so much and have yourself a great Sunday. Please look after yourself and all the best for the walk.